Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome everybody to another edition of Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin, and we're talking about the issues that emanate from Montgomery County and beyond. Guess what? I'm not going to lie to you and say here I'm every Tuesday. I'm not here on every Tuesday anymore. The summer hours have been killing me, absolutely killing me. You know what happens is I go out there, I'm out there with my kids, we're at the pool, we're doing something, some sports or whatever, or I have got work or something like that. And I just don't have the chance. A hockey game gets in the way. Something pops up. You know, life is getting in the way. Whoever expected that? I didn't expect it. I used to be able to do a ton of things. I was a multitasker. Tasking it. Tisk task. Boom, boom, boom. I had it done. I had it going on. Now, not so much. It's sad. It's sad but true, I tell you. So now I'm not even in the undisclosed bunker. I'm not even the man in the basement upstairs at my desk. Because during lunch hour, I decided to do the radio program because I talked to a couple people this past weekend. And they said, you haven't been doing the program and we missed it. All six of these people said they missed it a little bit. They missed hearing me talk, but that's why I'm back. You missed it, but nobody missed it more than I did. I created this show. I love this show. I just want to talk. You know, what happens? Let me tell you what happens when you don't get a chance to talk. Like radio. This is why everybody goes nuts on radio, because it's like therapy. You can say whatever you want, and after a while, if you're just a man in a microphone or a person in a microphone, you could sit there and just have a conversation with yourself. It's therapy. That's what everybody does in comedy. You don't need comedy. You don't need to get up in front of a stage and tell everybody how neurotic you are. Just get on radio, and you can all the problems that you're supposed to be talking to someone about, you can talk to a microphone and a radio audience about, and if you have any kind of intelligence, you just might say something smart. I don't know. That's what I do each time. As I said before, the radio program is called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. This is Two-Way Talk Radio. And our phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. So if you want to get on the air, give me a call. What are you doing at your desk right now? You can pretend like it's a business call. And if your boss comes, just say, yes, I'll have the pastrami sandwich and hang up. Yeah, that order's for pickup. Yes, yes. And two black coffees, please. I had a friend named Adam Karp who once did that to me. He was working at the DA's office, and I called him, and he got caught. He's like, I got to go. But so he's just like, yeah, two pastrami sandwiches, a corned beef. It's like, you're not slick, AK. Not slick at all. Ah, he's a little bit slick. He's all right. He's all right. So what's going on? July 4th just passed. 239 years of the United States. Let me tell you, the more I think about it and the more you can get away from red, white, and blue and all this kind of stuff and think about what it takes to be the United States, the more you appreciate it. And I had a chance to do a duck tour, one of those duck tours where you get in one of those those World War II vehicles, go around town, drive on the street, and then go into the Potomac, which I thought was pretty cool. My dad and brother and his daughter Carolina came down and took out my family, of course, Gina, Ryan, and Landon. We all went on to the Potomac and enjoyed ourselves. We got to sit right under Reagan National Airport there. And one of the jets came in right over us, pretty damn low. It was pretty exciting. It was a nice touch. But the captain was good, gave us some good information, found out a couple things that I'll pass on to you right now. There's only one president buried inside the district, inside Washington, D.C. Do you know who that is? Do you know where he's buried? I didn't know. Would you believe that? I didn't know. But it's Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson is the only president to be buried inside Washington, D.C. Borders. And he's buried at the National Cathedral or interned at the National Cathedral. I'm not sure if he's buried, but he's interned there. The other thing about Woodrow Wilson, and this is very fascinating, and it's a new exhibit at the Smithsonian American Museum of History, is that they have a $100,000 bill. With all this talk that's going on, you know, they're trying to get rid of Alexander Hamilton on the $10 bill. I thought it was going to be President Big Head Andrew Jackson on the $20, but it's not. They're talking about Andrew Hamilton. On the $100,000 bill is Woodrow Wilson. Would you believe that? Would you also believe Woodrow Wilson ran the country for about a year and a half with a severe stroke. His wife actually ran the country. It was a big facade. It was like that movie Dave, like It Couldn't Happen. You ever see that thing with Dave, with Kevin Kline, where he took over the country and they brought in a body double? It happened. It happened in 1918, 1919, around there when Woodrow Wilson was still in office. But he had a stroke, a massive stroke, and he really couldn't think, he really couldn't do, and his wife was taking over all of his things, all of his meetings, etc., and sort of the power behind the throne. This is the kind of information you get when you listen to Outside Looking In. But speaking of my trip to Washington, D.C., I sit here in Montgomery County in Moco. Got pointed out to me by my Spanish-speaking friends. Moco means booger in Spanish, or in at least in Peru. So we're calling ourselves Moco County. Moco. I live in Moco. That's great. Wonderful. Wonderful. But anyway, living here in Montgomery County, about 19 miles away from city center of Washington, D.C. I call it downtown. And they're like, my mother-in-law's like, what's downtown? Downtown Gaithersburg? Oh, come on. We lived in New Rochelle for how long? And we say downtown. It's not like I was going downtown New Rochelle. I was like, I'm going to go down to New Rochelle. You know, down. I guess I would say that. But downtown, sometimes it has a broader, bigger meaning. When you live in a metro area, it has broader, bigger meaning. Like when you live in Pittsburgh, or in the Pittsburgh area, like where she's from. It's like, I'm going downtown. What, are you going down to Squirrel Hill? Greensburg? No, I'm going downtown. Come on, get with it. But anyway, 19 miles away. I go to D.C., I pick and choose. You know, you go here, I've been to Union Station, I've been to the Capitol, I've been to all the wonderful spots, right? All the great spots. But this is one of the few times that I've had some backstreet experience in D.C. in a long time. I used to come down here for record company. I used to go down to Southeast when I worked for a rap music label. Due to actually a couple places when I was working for where I'm working for now, Z-Card and Step Marketing. But, you know, for the most part, you're hanging out in the good areas. But we did some walking because my family likes to walk. We just like to go. When we walk, when we go places, we like to walk. So we walk from Union Station. We're going over to Clyde's and Gallery Place down by the Verizon Center. And then we're taking some back roads up Massachusetts Avenue, up and around, wherever. Man, you know, I read it in the Washington Post, and I guess I didn't believe it. Washington is not in good shape. You know, I mean, this can happen to any city or any big city. But let me tell you, I grew up in New York, and I grew up from the 90s, you know, when I worked in New York City from 1990 to about 2 years ago. So I got to see the worst, and I got to see the best. But it's amazing when New York City, when you can say that you feel safer in New York City than any other city in this country right now, it's an amazing situation. Even with de Blasio going on and taking away a lot of the police tactics that were able to make the city safe, maybe they overstepped the boundaries, but you know what? The argument is that stop and frisk, the argument isn't that the stop and frisk didn't work. It's just a civil rights, issue, issue if it was effective or not, because it is effective. It's just not, you get to stop and frisk somebody. You know, where's your civil liberties? Maybe it's corporate suspended. But anyway, with downtown, man, you're wondering what's going on. I mean, they talk about a heroin epidemic. It's got to be heroin because it's not crack. I don't think it's crack, but people were bugged out. They were bugged out. I mean, people falling into the street, the homelessness, the skinnies were everywhere. I mean, the homelessness is ridiculous. I got 2 8-year-olds and a 6-year-old. And, you know, my dad, who's 84, 83, running around. And then my brother and my wife. And we're going by all these homeless shelters, et cetera. It's like, wow, the underbelly. You know, it's amazing how you can put a veneer, a shiny veneer on everything. But the underbelly is there of Washington, D.C., and it's not such a good thing. You know, the violence in the city is is on an uptick again. And then there was somebody who just got killed on the metro in broad daylight, July 4th, taking the metro, the red line. Not one of these obscure lines either, the red line. And that's the one that connects everything. It gets you to Union Station, gets you to all these places. Right in 1 o'clock in the afternoon, somebody tried to steal his cell phone. Guy got beaten down and then stabbed. And this guy tried to steal all this other stuff on the subway and then ran off. And they had a specific guy. They knew the guy's name. What was his name? Spires is his name. You know. And They caught him. But this is how it, this is what's interesting about it. This guy had the whole thing planned out, right? He took off, he got off, he was the first one off the train after the robberies and after the killing, the murder, let's put it as it is. He gets off the train, takes off his camouflage pants, dumps his knapsack, changes his bandana, etc., and walks out. You know, the surveillance tape has all of this. So they find the knapsack, and he's got his insurance card in there. Because everyone was like, how do they know it was this guy? How can they put out the arrest warrant for this guy right away? Whoa. You know, dump your bag with your insurance card in there? Good. I'm glad. I'm glad you got caught easy. I'm glad you're dumb. But, I mean, to take a man's life, that's just bad news. And I, of course it is, Bruce. You know that. I mean, I'm saying, I'm speaking to a choir here. But it's like when you darn think about it, it's just, you know, D.C.'s a little bit scary. I was talking to Gina this morning. I said, when we go downtown, we've got to be a little bit more careful. You know, we're, you know, D.C., it's not New York. We're from tough guy New Yorkers. I'm telling you, be careful. You got to be careful in any city. And normally you have that street sense, and I do. But when you don't know what you're walking into, that's the scary part about it. And, you know, D.C. is changing. There's a demographics changing, and, you know, people are getting pushed out to the side, but it's haves and have-nots. It's got to be something. The homelessness just can't be because of the poorness. You know, I mean, I don't want to sound like a Rush Limbaugh here saying, you know, the inequality is not the reason. It's not the reason. You know, there is a wide gap between the rich and the poor in this country, and there's no doubt about it. And you're talking to a Republican who's saying that. There's no doubt about it. But there has to be something that spurred it on. It's like when the crime wave in New York came and people were getting their car windows smashed or cracked over the head and everything. It was crack. It was crack cocaine. That was the reason. There's got to be something going on the street right now. And I'm sure it's heroin because, you know, they say the uptake in heroin is pretty serious right now. And in the district, I mean, you walk around. Seriously, you see homeless people and you see drunk people, et cetera. You know, it's not like, ooh, they're homeless, I got to run away from them. Somebody got a bum deal in life. But when you see five guys within 15 minutes stumbling upon themselves, can't walk straight, you know, almost walking into the street to get hit by a bus, that kind of stuff, then you know something is different. All right? I mean, this isn't one of these sheltered live kind of things. I'm not saying I'm down with the homeless living on the street corner and helping them out, because I'm not. I mean, I give the money to the homeless shelters, et cetera. You do what you have to do. But I'm not in the trenches with it. But this isn't about homelessness. This isn't about bad breaks. This is about something taking their souls, taking somebody's life, even though they're still walking. You know, Washington, D.C., not like I pictured it. People got to be a little bit more aware, a little bit more careful. And that's coming from a guy who is, you know, maybe a little too callous with his family, especially. You know, we had to walk around three or four people. And again, it's not because it's just homelessness. It's because it was seriously a scary situation. You know, a guy stumbling around, and the kids had these duck calls, right, from the duck boat thing. So they had these calls, and it makes a loud, obnoxious noise like a duck. And Landon keeps blowing it. I'm like, Landon, stop. Stop. You know, this one guy, I mean, he was big, too. Had no idea, but he was dusted, totally dusted. And I was like, what are we going to do? Let's just get the heck out of here. You know, my brother and I'm not sure if we were taking him. So it's like, let's go, kids, get out of here. And it's just funny seeing the kids grow up in the suburbs as much as they are down here. They're still young. I remember going to New York City and seeing this kind of situation in 85, 83, even younger. And going to Ranger games or whatever when my dad would take me. Going to Grand Central, stepping over people kind of stuff. And again, not out of, it's just the culture. It was just the way it was. It's like a Bruce Hornsby song. But anyway, I've depressed myself. I think that's the end of the show. I want to thank you for listening. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I didn't take my lunch hour to talk for 15 minutes. Talk for a little bit more. The program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. We're here on Pop-Up Radio, doing it when we can do it. Most of you are listening on the podcast or the archives anyway. But if you're out there and you want to get on the air, phone number is 773-897-6423. That's 773-897-6423. We're going to bring it in for a little bit. We're going to talk about Montgomery County. Not Montgomery, Alabama. Not Montgomery somewhere else. Not Sears Board of Montgomery. Sears in Montgomery. Whatever. Montgomery Ward. How about that? We're talking about Montgomery County, Maryland. Got a bone to pick with the county. Really? Really, Bruce? You got a problem? Yeah, I do. Because, I don't know, it's one of these things where you talk about government. Everybody wants government till it gets in their way. And there's a situation here in Montgomery County where if you buy a shed, we bought a shed. Would you believe that? That's how country I've become. Didn't have a shed in New Rochelle, but now I got a shed, or wanted to have a shed. It's 3x5. I guess it's like 6 feet tall or something. So guess what happens? You know, the architectural committee for the homeowners association comes by and they say, you need, you know, to get approval for that. Really? Really? For non-permanent structure? Well, it's a structure in your yard and we need to get approval. Oh. This guy came over and then he says, if you didn't know, Montgomery County needs to get a permit for it too. What? What? A permit for a shed? I got to get county permission for a permit for a shed for something that's 3x5 and, you know, 3x5x6? I want to put my lawnmower in there and my shovels. That's what I want to do. I don't have a John Deere tractor like most people do around here. I just want to put my lawnmower and my shovels in there. It's a nice little thing. We got it at Sears. And, you know, I guess the architectural committee around the neighborhood, I guess, it, you know, it's all right. You know, it keeps things in perspective, you know, so people don't start building crazy stuff and having pink flamingos in their front yard and pink houses, etc. But I got mad. You know, you get mad. It's like, they, here are the rules, Bruce. I don't want to follow your stinking rules. I don't want rules. Get away from me with your rules and your pieces of paper. And the bad thing about this is Gina just went down to that house of the guy who gave it to us and gave his wife cookies. Give me those cookies back, man. You don't deserve them. Give them back. But anyway, guy comes over and he's like, hey, you know, it's on a Sunday afternoon, so I'm mad. So I've been sitting on this thing for like 2.5 weeks. I got to do something about it. I don't want to be in disfavor of the architectural committee or the homeowners committee. The same homeowners committee who I went to the meeting because you know I'm involved, right? I want to know what's going on. They have their meeting on December 16th. They only get like 6 people to show up, so there's no quorum, so we can't vote on anything. And they got to have another meeting, and they need, because of the bylaws, they got to schedule 2 weeks out, et cetera. The meeting's going to be like on December 24th. Who's going to that? We weren't very friendly either. That's the part I didn't like. That's the main part. But anyway, I don't want to get in disfavor of them, but I drove around the neighborhood, looked at all the different places. People got sheds. I think I'm going to get away with it. Not a problem. But I got to get a neighbor sign off on it. I mean, more things. It's just more things to keep you up. More things not to make something easy. We're still getting to the point, though. So I drive around, and I'm going around my neighborhood. They're worried about my shed. Someone has a boat on a trailer on the side of their house covered. This boat's been side of the house and covered for at least 5 or 6 months. Where's the homeowners association on that? So that's my ace in the hole. If it comes down to it where they don't approve what I need, I'm going to say, well, let's go right here. I don't approve this. I don't approve that. This message has not been approved by me. But anyway, the thing about it is that Montgomery County comes in now. I got to pay another $118 to get a permit from Montgomery County so they say my shed is safe. 5x7x6 or 3x5x6, whatever it is, doesn't matter. But I got to pay another $118 to get a Montgomery County permit. You know, the guy who brought us the HOA stuff is like, well, it's because of safety. It's because of safety. You know, Montgomery County has to come in here too. It's all safety in case it's so it doesn't blow down on you. You know what? Okay, fine. I get it. I get it. Montgomery County, I get it. Because sheds of a certain size need of everything. They need permits. They need to be secure. I mean, people could put a shed on property lines and or a huge shed where it's another structure with electricity and people hanging out and drinking beer in it. They could do that. So Montgomery County has its rules. You can't have a rickety, rackety, cartoonish shed. You got to have a something for real. I get it. Fine. $118. You know who I'm mad at? You know who I'm mad at? I'm mad at Sears. I'm mad at Lowe's. I'm mad at Home Depot. I'm mad at True Value. I'm mad at any store inside of Montgomery County that sells sheds and doesn't tell you you need a permit. What is that about? That's a big Seinfeld moment there. What's up with that? Why that? How come you didn't tell me? So I got my shed on sale. Now I got to pay another $118? One-fifth of the cost? If not more? You got to put up a big old sign. And Gina says, well, you know, if they had that sign, they wouldn't sell any. Well, it's stealing. It's cheating. It's not letting you know what the story is. Hey, Schmucko, you just moved to Montgomery County?
Yes, I did. You want to buy a shed?
Yes, I do. I want to put my lawnmower in there. Okay. And a shovel. And maybe some chairs. Okay.
Well, that's perfect. Here it is. Don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out. You just bought yourself a shed.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, and by the way, Montgomery County is going to charge you $118 for a permit. Zoinks! Let me say it in the right voice.
Zoinks? Hey, Scooby!
No, but seriously, I mean, how ridiculous is that? I think it is incumbent on the people who sell these things to say that you need a permit in Montgomery County. I bought this shed in the heart of Montgomery County. It doesn't get any more heart of Montgomery County as Bethesda. The Sears in Bethesda. I bought it there. We wheeled it out, brought it home. Not a peep. Not a word. Problem was, Gene and I built it in the driveway. So we gave too many people a chance to look at it. There was no covert operation here. No sneaking going on. Trying to circumvent the rules. But yeah, I don't want to circumvent the rules. But just tell me what the rules are before I make a decision. You know, for $118, I might not have made that decision. I mean, oh, it's only $118. But on top of whatever the shed cost, is it worth it? Now I got to get architectural review, this, that, and the other thing? No, it's not worth it. What about my doctor bills? Who's going to pay my doctor bills? Because this is the kind of stuff that keeps me up at night. This is why I sweat. This is why I got problems. This is the kind of stuff that will ruin my dreams, and I'll be tossing and turning until something gets done. But I got to do it. Homeowners Association, got to do it, right? We'll get it done. We'll get it done. But I'm not done with Montgomery County. I just want to open up the program for a sec. The phone number is 773-897-6423. Again, that's 773-897-6423. My name is Bruce Negrin. You're listening to one of the special editions of Outside Looking In. Pop-up radio, that's what we're calling today's episode because it's going on at 3 o'clock. What do you do with your lunch hour? I make mine productive. I yell about things. That's what I do. Like, I don't do enough of that at work. So we're talking about a permit for everything in Montgomery County. This is one of those counties that really wants to get into your business. I mean, the permit I can understand for safety issues, but they don't want to put pesticides on lawns now. One thing I don't understand, this is to all my friends in Montgomery County, because maybe you don't understand it somewhere else, but the gnat problem down here, the gnat, seriously, this is another thing. I might not have moved if I knew about the gnats. You can't wear a baseball hat in Montgomery County because the gnats fly into the bill of the hat and then fly into your eyes. It's ridiculous. I mean, they're everywhere. And the kids don't even want to go outside and play sometimes because of the gnat. Got to put on bug spray to do anything. And they're still floating around your head like your freaking pig pen from Charlie Brown. Seriously. What is it, you know, and they want to ban pesticides, you know, the grubs and all that. I don't care about the grubs. Get rid of the gnat. I know I live in deer country. I know I do. I mean, I'm in farms. I moved to the country. The country. Uh-huh. Not that people speak that way around here, but it was all farms. I mean, as far as your eye can see, and deer prancing around, foxes in my backyard making noise, waking us up at night. What? It's like there is no difference between a loud garbage truck in New York City and a fox trying to call a mate. Kids wake up, Dad, I'm scared. There's something in our backyard. I'm scared. It was a fox calling for a mate. So now I do know the answer to the question, what does the fox say? The fox says, That's exactly what it sounds like. So I moved here. Maybe that's why there's a gnat problem. But we got all these people who could come over, Aspen Industrial or Environmental Services. Oh, we could spray your lawn. Nobody could kill a gnat. Nobody knows how to kill a gnat. We could kill termites and this and that. I mean, what specialty does the gnat have that we just can't squash it out? It's just annoying. It is annoying. Well, what else is going on in Montgomery County? I'm going to propose that Montgomery County is too big. I've said this before. I've talked about it before. In New Rochelle, we had New Rochelle, the city of New Rochelle, the city of Yonkers, the city of Mount Vernon, the town of Mamaroneck, you know, the town of Larchmont. They were towns, incorporated towns and places. That's one of the things about New York area or Westchester County where I used to live. You used to get triple tax because you'd have a city tax, a school tax, a county tax, and a state tax. So you're triple taxed in your county, and then you have the state tax as well. So is it better or worse? You know, services, et cetera. You know, I don't know about Nourishell, about the services, because the more services you add, the more that you get a civil service job and more pensions, et cetera. So down the road, you're going to have to pay for it. But immediately, I guess services are better. You know, you have real sewers, not just storm drains that run, you know, that run from one property to the other down into one drain and out into the Chesapeake. So that's a difference. But here, I think Montgomery County, but in Westchester, I always questioned what Westchester County government did. You know, they took over some streets, they plowed, they did this, they did that. You know, I lived in the city of New Rochelle, which was part of Westchester. My brother lives up in a different part. It's part of Westchester, but he's paying his city taxes as well to the incorporation, the incorporated part. But what I'm talking about here is Montgomery County, I don't have a city. I don't have representation down there. I don't have a city. I pay everything to the county, whether it's school taxes. Well, my school taxes are bundled into my county tax, and that's the biggest, you know, nut I have to pay each year. I like it. Taxes are much lower, much lower. I mean, they're talking about reassessment down here. You can never run away from it because there's not enough people. When this is the problem with government overall. When they have the money, they are going to spend the money. There is no rainy day fund in government. Let's start another program. Let's do this. Let's do that. When they get the money, they start handing out the money. For what? For pet projects, to get reelected, and that's the problem. It's like earmarked and you know, pork, they call it. Earmarks for this, earmarks for that. Look what I did for you. I built you this playground. We didn't really need it, but we had extra money, so I built it for you. You know, playground might be a bad example, but that's what happens. You can't give a politician money and expect it to be there in a year or longer. They will spend the money. It's your money. It's not theirs. You know, and what happens? We'll just tax higher. But either or, I'll get out of that situation for a moment. But Montgomery County, I am proposing that Montgomery County is too big. It's too big. You can't have just outside of Washington, D.C., to jump right into Montgomery County by like Chevy Chase and then up to Bethesda, and then just have it back out 90 miles up or 80 miles up just before Frederick. It's too big. What's going on down here or even in Mid-County is not the same. It's funny because you watch weather reports. I get the Montgomery County alerts. Montgomery County alert on my phone. It's telling me that it's about to pour in 20 minutes. Severe thunderstorms. They don't tell you what part of the county. They don't tell you what city. Is it going to be near Germantown, North Potomac, Bethesda, just Montgomery County, beware of thunderstorms. County, playoffs, the county is too big to say something like that. They said near Germantown, it's going to rain. This is where you should expect it. Germantown, among, you know, Gaithersburg, Boyd, etc. Or you should expect it up in Frederick. It's too big. And they look at it as a whole county, and it's too big. What's going on in my issues on my particular road, I don't have a city councilman anymore. I have a county councilman. And the county councilman, but listen to this. The Republicans in the past election decided not to focus on county elections because it's easier and more compact to get someone elected to the state office than it is in terms of districts than it is to get someone on the county office. Is there not something wrong with that? I think so. When your area is too big and it's easier to get elected to be a state representative because your area of election is smaller than it is for a county representative. You know, my issues are with Montgomery County. I live in Montgomery County. I'm still a little new to be a Marylander, you know, to know to go to the state house and be a rep. I'm a little too new for that. But I know what my day-to-day is in Montgomery County. But my day-to-day is probably not the same as the person in my district. In my same county seat district. And you talk about schools. I don't know where it is elsewhere, but maybe I, you know, growing up in New Rochelle, we paid an exorbitant amount of tax for school taxes. And everybody in the city administration will let you know, the killer for you in taxes is not city stuff. It's the schools. It's the schools. Okay, fair enough. But we had one high school, two junior high schools or middle schools, and five elementary schools. For a town of 72,000 people. 72,000 people. That's what they had. You know what they got in Montgomery County? What? What did you say? No,
They got more than 100 schools. What do you think they have in Montgomery County? They got close, if not exactly, 202 schools. 202 schools. How do you manage that? You know, they just chased out a superintendent, Josh Starr. They don't have a superintendent or a new permanent one. Larry Bowers is here as the interim, and he's got to cut 400 jobs because the Republican governor didn't give enough funding. Montgomery County is the largest school district in Maryland, with Prince George's next. And both of these districts took it right on the nose because of cuts in funding. You know, you can't start cutting school funding, at least not that badly. You could take a look and do audits and make sure that the money's being spent properly, but you just can't come in with a wave of a pen and say, you know, 35% of your spending is gone. You know, it's you know, and then you have to figure it out. Just give them a chance. This is what you better start thinking. Where's your austerity, your contingency plan, Montgomery County? But there was a guy who was going to come, and again, the school board, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. The school board here is has a very high opinion of itself. You know, people who get elected think they know better than you. And I told you this, not that they know better than you, they just have more gumption than you might have, or more time. That might be the case. They don't necessarily know better than you. They want to be elected. They want to put something on their resume. And I don't want to say everybody's like doing this just so they can have something on their resume or get a pension or whatever. What I am saying is, you know, there's people who care about the community, people who want to do something. But the difference is, not that they're smarter, is that they went out and did it. Isn't that the difference in life? How many times have you heard that? Well, you know, this guy's a millionaire. Why? Because he went out and did it. Took the chance, ran for something, did something. But anyway, Montgomery County picked somebody from Houston. Guy was, you know, serious lack of experience in running a school district, especially this size. But he backed out. He was the preferred candidate, but before they moved ahead any further, he backed out because he didn't think it was the right fit after talking to some community members here. And he was probably right. Probably the smartest decision this guy has made, because why do you want to be a rookie? You know, you've never run anything. This is not a step up. This is a huge step up. And if you haven't run anything, you could fall into disaster. But Montgomery County, you can't tell me Gaithersburg and Boyds, Maryland, have these same issues in schools. You know, it's like, how do you go for 202 schools and 100,000 kids, et cetera? You know, how do you do it? How do you do it? I don't know. I don't know. The county's too big. I propose that you split this county in half. Create a North Montgomery and a South Montgomery County. Yeah, it's pretty radical, and I don't know the effects of it, but I believe it should be studied. I think because you can be too diverse. You know, someone can't govern because something's too diverse. That was a point that my brother made about New Rochelle. It's too diverse. Everything, you know, the people in the South End and the North End don't have the same, you know, and they're only miles away. Here we're, you know, tens of miles away, if nothing else. They don't have the same interests. They don't have the same following. One's in the suburbs, one's part of the city. You know, in this county, you have cities and then you have farms. I mean, flat out farms. And Montgomery County runs all the busing. Montgomery County runs all the schooling. Montgomery County runs everything. I never believed in a county before. It's like, seriously, as long as we could get to the county line, Bo, we'll be safe. As long as we could get to the county line, we'll be safe. Sheriff Johnson can't take care of us there. Okay. What the hell was that? But seriously, that's my point. There should be a South and a North and a North and a South. We should have a civil war. We can make battle flags and the whole nine. But something can be too diverse to be governed efficiently. And I think that's one of the things. You say, well, it happens in the state. Yeah, well, the state is a different story. This county is too diverse. It's too big. 202 schools. 100 and change in terms of students. It's too much. How do you expect to uplift all of them? How? And what happened in Montgomery County, too, they build everything in Montgomery County like a pocket. They build pocket schools. They build high schools just big enough to get filled up so you need another one. Because they're not restricting any kind of development here. I mean, just in my neighborhood alone, some of these farms are going to go away, and more people are going to start building homes, and you're going to get two kids, and, you know, and more schools needed, and they're just going to build pocket schools. So let's add 300 schools. And pocket schools, you know, I don't think bigger, I don't think super schools are the way to go, but you just can't have 300 kids in a school. You know, where's the efficiency in that? There is no efficiency in that. And then when somebody starts moving into a neighborhood like they're doing up in the Kentlands and Rachel Carson, overfilling their school, now they demand, these people are demanding a new school. How about you go to some of these underserved schools as well? Let's filter out the population there, guys. Everybody can't have it their own way. Can't have it their own way. You know, I mean, isolation is probably the worst thing that can happen. And that's what happens in some of these communities now that are being built, because Montgomery County likes to build communities that are self-sustained. The Kentlands, you know? I mean, it's, someone calls it the Truman Show up there. I don't know about it. I think it has its purpose, but the people up there are definitely, you know, they're much more so into themselves than being part of the community. And I don't like it, whoever it is, if they're not part of the larger community. You know, self-sustained, that's what they are. You don't ever see them. Sometimes you'll see them like at a soccer game or a baseball game, but after that, they're gone. My wife's best friend doesn't live in the Kentlands, but she goes to a Kentlands school. Their kids go to a Kentlands school. We're less than a mile away. My kids won't see her kids. They'll be best friends or very good friends, but they won't see each other till they get to high school. And by that time, there might be another high school. You know, and in 10 years, there might be another high school. Pretty crazy, isn't it? I mean, they're less than a mile away, and they will never be in school together until they get to high school. 10 years of schooling. I mean, I understand about drawing up the districts and that kind of stuff, but, you know, I don't know. I think a better way can be done. I think Montgomery County is too big and too diverse. That's what I think. What do you think? What's your opinion? Do you have an opinion? Do you care? Am I talking to you? Are you listening to me? What? You know, I was just thinking, we're talking about kids, and I was mentioning my kids. I think my kids hate me. You know, because they do things that I specifically tell them not to do over and over and over and over again. My son Ryan, he brushes his teeth, right? And he'll take the toothpaste, and then we're trying to get him to foam up the toothpaste. What he does, puts the toothpaste on his brush, puts it in his mouth, and he spits out like all the toothpaste right away. Makes me mad. Because I tell him that you got to brush your teeth. The kid had to have a tooth pulled, so he knows how bad the dentist chair can be. And he's going to make me feel guilty when he has to get his teeth pulled again. His tooth was pulled because one wasn't growing in, et cetera. This isn't because you got the cavity creeps going. But he knows how bad it can be. But this kid refuses to brush for 2 minutes. I got to sit there. He's 8 years old. I got to sit there and say, what are you doing? Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. Brush your teeth. Now. But anyway, I told him, even if he didn't brush his teeth, you think the kid would be smart enough to cover it up. Not that he's not brushing his teeth, but spitting out his toothpaste. What he does is he leaves the toothpaste in the sink. Every day I go to him and I say, Ryan, I hate this. I hate when you do this. I don't hate much, but I hate this. When you do this, it drives me nuts. Clean out your sink. What does he do? And you think, it's not like it's a surprise. You could see it when you leave, but he just puts down his toothbrush, walks out every day. I had to do it again today. I'm going to take that kid, I'm going to get a bottle of Comet, and we're going to clean everything now. Yeah, but that's, they don't listen and all this kind of stuff. The best part is, you go around, well, it's not even the best part. It's an okay part. Is that nobody listens anymore. No kid listens. To me, I think that's the difference between corporal punishment and not. My dad had threatened, and he has given me the back of his hand to my bottom a couple times. I listened. I didn't like it. Here, the kids know that they're not going to get anything. They're not going to get hit. And I don't want them to get hit. I'm not a big fan of corporal punishment. I don't believe anybody in school should give corporal punishment, anything of that sort. But sometimes they just got to be afraid, right? Just got to be afraid. The threat has to be there. But not anymore. Not anymore. So what I do Sunday, my brother and dad were down here, I told you, and his family went around for July 4th. They left July 5th that morning, and I'm tired, right? So what happens, a neighbor calls us up, says, Why don't you come over and watch the girls' soccer, the women's soccer, the World Cup final? And Gina's like, you know, I mean, I like the neighbor, and it's cool that they invited us. I have no problems with them. You know, I particularly like it. But they're like, yeah. Gina turns to me. She goes, do you want to go? You want to go see the World Cup final? Exactly. Exactly. I'm not going to let it stop. That's how I feel. No, I don't want to go see the World Cup final because I'm tired. Got to meet new people. I just didn't feel like being on. You ever have those moments where you don't feel like talking and being on to meet new people and be at a party? But anyway, we went. You know, I acquiesced. I said to Gina, I'm pretty sure she wanted to go. And it's important that you go out to your neighbors. There's no reason not to go up there. But there were some other people, and they were going to watch the soccer game. Everyone's into the soccer game. Couldn't be into it less. Not a big soccer fan, women's soccer especially. You know, it's just, I can't go and root for the U.S. just because it's the U.S. Not that I was rooting against the United States. I definitely wasn't. But it's like, I can't whip up fervor for women's soccer when I don't care about men's soccer. But I did have, I don't want to see an epiphany, because it wasn't an epiphany, but I saw something there. The game's on, and there are about 10 girls, little girls, in this house of my neighbor. And they're all sitting on the couch, and the game's on, and they're all quiet, and they're like, USA comes out. And they're like, hooray, hooray. And I'm like, okay, cool. But, you know, they all play soccer, as I mentioned. And then when the U.S. scored the first goal, other than my ears bleeding because little girls screaming, it was fantastic. And when the USA kept pouring it on, which, you know, this is one of the things. Oh, let me finish the point. When the USA kept pouring it on and they scored the four goals, these little girls were inspired. You know, I mean, they're soccer players and et cetera, but they were inspired. They were happy to see somebody. I understood the thing about role model now. They saw somebody that they can aspire to be. I don't know, you know, Hope Solo, do you really want to aspire to be that? No, they saw the game as the game. They saw women soccer players. They didn't see people. They saw women soccer players. Because anybody holding up a Hope Solo sign, she's just as bad as any NFL guy with domestic abuse. I mean, you can't want your girl to be Hope Solo. I mean, a bunch of others, I guess, but come on. You know, it was just one of those situations. But these little girls had somebody to look up to, something to play for. And that is why you play sports, and that's why I appreciated it. To see them, I was touched by it. Like, yeah, that's what we got to do on Monday, you know, when we have our next game. I thought that was cool. I thought it was very cool. But speaking of women's sports, it's like the announcers, I don't know, man. I watch that game, and maybe I watch with a coach's eye, like I pretend I know anything about soccer. But off those corner kicks, it looked like the United States was running the picket fence or a wheel play, right? I mean, do you think anybody on that telecast would tell you anything other than it's a wonderful day for women, it's a wonderful day for women? You know, I don't really need to hear the breakdown, like having John Gruden go through, but to gloss over it, that they might have seen a weakness in the Japanese team, because they did it three times. I saw a weakness, especially at the third time. That fourth goal was just a bad, bad goal, and the fifth goal was sort of like the rest of them. But they were running a wheel play off the corner kicks. The girls would run in, the women would run in, circle back out, and then the next one would come through and have a shot at the goal. I can see that in the untrained eye. Not one person up there had even brought in strategy, because maybe there's a 13 or 14-year-old girl who's not a 10-year-old girl who screams at every time there's a goal, who's actually trying to learn something from the game. You know, and now we got to wave flags. And that's the other part, too, I didn't like. Everybody's got to get an American flag around them. Who has the best photo op? Nothing is genuine anymore. They were happy, no doubt. But everybody's got to have the American flag wrapped around them. Just be happy for your teammates. Be happy for yourself. You didn't have a victory for me. I'm glad you won. I'm glad the United States won. You know, I'm tired of being kicked around a little bit. It's one of these things. But believe me, this wasn't the Russians and the Team USA hockey. All right? It wasn't. You know, our arch enemy, Japan. Nishka. You Americans, lazy. Oh, you play soccer lazy. I guess I'm going to be off the air next for the political correctness, but I don't care about political correctness because I don't think I take anything over the edge. Political correct, to be politically correct is no way to live life. I mean, there's things that you've got to understand. This is where it gets all mixed up. Being culturally correct. I mean, there's some things that you do have to be on the lookout for. You have to wonder, you know, you can't be, how do I say this? I don't know how to say it. You just can't blurt stuff out. You do have to be sensitive to some things, but not everything, not all the time. You know, there are just some things that are just not worth it. What was going on in South Carolina? I'm mad at what's going on in South Carolina and the Confederate flag, et cetera. I am not a supporter of the Confederate flag. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago as well. I went to see my brother-in-law. He's working on the H.L. Hunley, the first submarine combat sub to ever blow up a ship. They blew up the Housatonic in the Civil War. So these guys got lost on the way back, and they died at sea. So they found the sub, you know, these Civil War chasers found the sub, and, you know, treating these Confederates as heroes, gave a proper burial, et cetera. I mean, going on, and they're still trying to find out why the sub went down. Either or, it's part of history. I'm all for it. It's history. But then we get to the gift shop, right? And there are a couple shirts there. There's this one maroon shirt. I'm a sucker for, like, a nice, deep maroon shirt. I was like, ooh, that's nice. I should get that. Then I looked at the back, and I had the H.L. Hunley on it. I'm like, okay, no big deal. Then I had a Confederate flag and an American flag. I'm like, where could I possibly wear this shirt? I can't wear it anywhere. You know, I mean, what kind of fraud would I be to wear this shirt? You know, I worked in rap music for 5 or 6 years of my life. I'm not going to say, oh, black people are my friends. They're my friends. Oh, I've got black people, you know. No, I'm just calm and cool. I went to, you know, growing up in New Rochelle, it was just calm and cool. This was life. This is the way it was, the way it is. I'm not going to wear a shirt like that. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't want to offend, but it's just, the hell with offend, I don't feel good wearing a Confederate flag shirt, even if it's just part of it. But on the flip side of that, you know, they talked about South Carolina, or the National Park Service, took down the Confederate flag at Fort Sumter in Charleston, South Carolina. It was flying over Fort Sumter. You know, didn't Obama say the Confederate flag should be in a museum? Isn't Fort Sumter a museum? Yes, it is. It's a park, but it's a museum. No one's going out there to have a picnic. I've been out there 3 times. I've never bought a sandwich. Never sat down and said, oh, this is lovely. They let you out there, and then they tell you the ferry's leaving. You got to get back home. But, I mean, what, are you going to whitewash everything? You know, the Confederates fired on Fort Sumter. They took over Fort Sumter. Robert Anderson, Major Anderson, left Fort Sumter. You know, you can't go over history. Doesn't mean, and it wasn't even the Confederate battle flag. It was the first Confederate flag. It wasn't the stars and bars. But if a flag's supposed to be left in history, then leave it in history, a museum. Now, let's go to Georgia, 1954. State Senate, House of Representatives in Georgia decided to change the state flag from what it was to add the Confederate battle flag into the state flag in 1954. What's so great about 1954? Brown versus the Board of Education. A black and white issue. Don't tell me that flag is heritage in the Georgia state flag. I was a sucker. When I first moved to Georgia, I was like, you know, leave the flag alone. You know, it's been the state flag for how many years? And then I found out the year that they voted it in to make it the new state flag, 1954. You know what that is? And forgive my language, but that's a big FU. That's in your face. And put in any bad word you could say about a black person right there. Any derogatory comment, any racial epithet that you could put in right there, because that's exactly what it is and is exactly what it was. Now let's move to the State House in South Carolina. You know, they put out that monument in 1963. Let's build a Confederate monument and put up the stars and bars in 1963. Let's call it what it is, man. Something like that is not history. And just because it's 50 years old now doesn't make it history. I'm not saying that you got to take every Confederate flag off of everything, but you got to know, you have to understand when these symbols were put up. 1954, 1963, in the middle of the civil rights movement, there is no other meaning for these flags. There's no other meaning for these monuments than what they are. Than what they are. And that's exactly what it is, man. It's scary. It's very scary, but it was a big in your face. Let's just call it what it is. It's racism. It's everything that you want to say. Kennedy, John and Bobby, we're not going to integrate. Hey, Michael Schwerner down in Mississippi. You know what? Sorry for your life lost. You know, trying to do the Voter Rights Act down there, Mississippi burning. Get out of here, New York Jew. It's the same thing, man. I mean, and it's racism. It's like, we got to end racism. It's going to take a while. Can't start building up. You can't start talking about hate. You can't preach hate, but it's going to take a while. It's going to take a while. Not saying that it's right, but you can't have obvious symbols like this. And the thing that gets me now is like, what are you going to take down the Confederate battle flag at Gettysburg? I mean, the other part, too, is that, yes, you know, the flag right now being waved around is not about heritage. It has a much deeper meaning than heritage. But you got to leave it up at Gettysburg. You got to leave it up at Fort Sumter. You got to leave it up in certain places. This is part of history. And the flip side of this, these guys are still Americans. They brought back to America. You know, the flag really got bastardized when the KKK started taking it, when Bedford Forrest started taking it around and showing it as a symbol of, you know, get out of my way, stay down, black man. That's when it got bastardized as well. That's when it not just became a battle flag. No matter what it symbolized before, then the whole meaning, whether it was gray, there was no more gray area. The flag became a symbol of hate at that moment. Burning cross is a symbol of hate. You don't get all the crosses out either. And again, inappropriate spot. I'm not saying, well, Bruce, this is a strange argument to be tiptoeing. In the museum, I'm for it. In the museum. At the state capital of in Columbia in South Carolina? I'd be offended by that as well. But before I go, let me tell you the one thing here. The Confederate flag is not the issue. It is not the issue that we should be dealing with. There is so much stink in the newspaper about how we're whitewashing history in the Civil War, about how we're whitewashing the battle flag, how it's a symbol of racism and hate. What killed those 9 people? A person and a gun. Don't take the issue away from the people who perished. The flag didn't make someone do it. There's a much deeper seated sentiment in about someone than that symbol. Let me tell you, a gun is not a symbol. The issue has been hijacked. Now we got to get rid of every Confederate flag. And again, I am not for the flag. I'm not trying to say that. But what I am against right now is that the issue of gun control is not being pursued. If every newspaper, if the Washington Post would put as much energy into talking about gun control in the place where all the senators and House of Representative people, where government, the seat of government is, and get rid of handguns and create gun control, no matter what, fight the NRA. What are you afraid of? This Confederate flag is an easy target. It's an easy symbol. Oh, you're just big, dumb redneck. Now who's calling who what? All right? It's an easy symbol because it's a nice, easy way for progressives to shout down somebody else again. I am not for the flag. I am not for the Confederate rebel flag. But don't take the issue of 9 people laying down their lives, of being killed, going to work. They were guilty of going to work. If we can have as much hate for people about on 9/11, let's have the hate for this. And what was the weapon of choice? Another gun. The Washington Post, write your articles daily about gun control. Take it to the step of the NRA out there in Virginia, in Sterling, Virginia. Take it to their doorstep. Take it to the doorstep of Congress. Take it to the doorstep of the president. Get somebody some guts. You want a groundswell? Get the groundswell going. You sure as hell did it for the Confederate flag. Because that's easy. That's an easy one. There's no lobby, no real organized lobby behind the Confederate flag, but there's an organized lobby and a powerful lobby behind the NRA. All you social media freaks out there who have an opinion about everything, whether it's gay marriage or Confederate flags or whatever, how about you get on the gun kick as well? Where is that? Is that so passe? Is that so last week's news? Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. You want something to change? That's what should be changing. That's where the groundswell should come from. And you know what? Because it's a white-on-white issue. It's a black-on-black issue. It's a black-on-white issue. It's a white-on-black issue. It's a Korean on, you know, Hispanic. It's a Hispanic on Puerto Rican. You know, it doesn't matter who or what. Guns are an issue for everybody. Violence is an issue for everybody. You want to cross color lines? That's where you start. That's where you go. That's where you make it happen. Handguns are killing more people than a Confederate flag are. Black on black crime, you know, don't say that's not an issue. It's an issue of, you know, and these people were saying, well, here's gun control, a robber with a gun and someone else without it. Yeah, that's why you need, you know, you can't have gun control. You take it away out of the hands of the good people. Now, when someone breaks into your house, go get your rifle. I'm not taking away rifles. Taking away your handguns. Hiccup. No, really, it's just that's the issue. Don't hijack the issue. 9 people perished, and now the Confederate flag is the issue. Because the guy had mental problems anyway, and he was a racist anyway, and he's the loner anyway. I mean, everybody in his whole family turned him in. No one wanted to be part of that. I'm not saying that they're good people. I don't know them, but I don't, you know. There isn't one person in his family who defended him. I don't want to say lone wolf either, but come on, man. Get with it. And everyone's like, well, guns don't kill people. People kill people. And I just looked at it. Let me break it down this simply, all right? And then this will be the final point. But let me break it down this simply. I saw my kids yesterday. Ryan did something to Landon to provoke him. The older brother did something to the younger brother to provoke him. Pushed him or whatever. Landon picked up something and hit Ryan with it. You know, he didn't use his fist this time or whatever. Gave him a cheap shot. And I called him out on it. But Landon was so mad that he wasn't thinking anymore. So mad that his judgment was blinded. That he hit his brother with something. And he got in more trouble. Landon took it the extra step and he had something in his hand. How many times have you been so over the edge? So afraid or so getting beaten up or whatever. You know, taking a punch and you get so mad. Someone's yelling at you. You're on the highway. You're so mad. In that moment of irrationality, of being irrational, got a gun in your hand. You're going to use it. You didn't mean to. You didn't want to. But you had it in your hand, and you'll use it. It's an escalation clause, right? I'm protecting myself. That country's got nukes. I got to get nukes. So nobody uses them. But you push me too far, I'm going to use it. And that's exactly what it is. And how many people have made a mistake of hitting somebody? Just hitting them. Plain old hitting them. Imagine if they had something in their hand. And something like a gun. Not like a knife where you got to feel it and you go right up to the person. But a gun. Where you're feet away. There's no bravery in guns. None at all. Program's called Outside Looking In. My name is Bruce Negrin. I want to appreciate anybody who's out there listening. One day you got to give me a call. Phone number 773-897-6423. We're going to try to come back on again next Tuesday night. Or, no, I don't know, maybe next Wednesday. It's going to be pop-up radio. Watch Facebook. Watch the Facebook's posts. Watch your email. we'll get right to you. And if you want to get in touch with me, the address on Facebook is called Outside Looking In with Bruce Negron. You can go to that page, or you can go to brucenegronradio@yahoo.com and send me an email, and we can go from there. Tell me what you're thinking. I want to hear what you're thinking, you know, because it's important. It really is. But for right now, do me a favor. Step up to the mic because nobody's going to say it for you. And do something today that'll make you better tomorrow. I'll catch you when I catch you.
What can I do? What can I do? How can I do the things I wanna do? When 90% of me is you, my heart no longer does what I want it to. Because 90% of me is you. Gonna be the kind of woman that no man can move. I wanna have the kind of mind that no man can fool. I wanna look you in the eye without getting weak in my knees. I wanna be able to do without you, the fight of my knees. I never thought it possible that I could be controlled like